Welcome back to the Deep Dive, everyone. I am so excited for today's topic. So I want you to imagine something for a second. Imagine you find a treasure map, okay? But instead of, doing the usual thing where you grab a shovel and go digging secretly in the dead of night, you do the exact opposite.
Share it.
Yeah, exactly. You photocopy the map, you staple it to every bulletin board in town, and you just say to everyone, hey, let's dig together.
I love that analogy.
Right. And that is essentially exactly what we're looking at today. We are going to dig into something that is just wildly unprecedented.
It really is. It's a complete shift in how we handle, well, scientific discovery.
For sure. So to give everyone the layout for today's mission, if you've been listening to our previous deep dives, you know we've been heavily focused on this this fascinating trioral principle.
Yes, the three-pronged resonator.
Exactly. This entirely new third evolutionary branch of sound-based resonators, using three prongs set at exactly 120 degree angles to create these stable, toroidal, basically donut-shaped interference fields.
Right, which is mind-blowing on the physical level alone.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. But today, we are shifting gears a bit. We're looking at a highly specific, very philosophical, and honestly pretty symbolic document that the Trioral team just released.
Yeah, the open letter to scientists, researchers, and innovators.
That's the one.
So to really set the stage for you listening, I want you to picture almost a mix of a hyper-modern laboratory and like a classical philosophy library.
Oh, I like that visual.
Because that's the vibe here. We are going to dissect the contents of this letter today. And to do that, we are going to treat all the past trioral data as known facts.
Right. We aren't debating the math today.
Exactly. We're doing a bit of a thought experiment. We're asking, how does the modern scientific community react to this?
Yeah.
Who is going to champion this research? And how could this kind of open source collaboration literally change the future of physics?
It's going to be a fun one. Okay, so let's unpack the letter itself. It was published on May 14th, 2025. And the first thing that jumped out to me is that it's written in English, Slovak, and Russian.
Which is such a deliberate strategy.
Right. Like, why those three specifically?
Well, I mean, academic research, especially when you get into physics and acoustics, it can be incredibly siloed.
Oh, totally. Very Anglo-centric, usually.
Exactly. So by using those three specific languages, they're purposely casting this really wide international net. They're trying to reach Eastern European engineering institutes, Russian quantum labs, and Western facilities all at the same time.
Bypassing the gatekeepers, basically.
Exactly. Bypassing the traditional journals entirely.
And the tone of it is, well, it's really interesting. Because if I just discovered a third evolutionary branch of acoustic resonance, I would be shouting my conclusions from the rooftops,
You'd want the Nobel Prize immediately.
Exactly. But they don't do that. There are no dogmatic claims here. It's more about offering visions and asking questions. They're just inviting the community to test it.
Yeah, the core asks in the letter are actually framed as questions. Hmm. They're asking the world's labs, hey, have you encountered a similar three-pronged harmonic concept?
Like, have you seen this donut shape before?
Right. And then they go further. They ask, could this extend into etheric energy or quantum fields, scalar phenomena? And finally, would your laboratory be willing to conduct basic exploratory measurements?
Okay, let's unpack this right here, because I have to push back on that a little.
Okay, go for it.
Isn't it incredibly risky for them to use terms like etheric energy when addressing mainstream scientists? I mean, if I'm a tenured professor and I see etheric energy or free energy in a proposal, my skeptical reflex is gonna flare up big time. Like, doesn't that usually just get your paper thrown in the trash in the academic world?
Oh, it completely does. It's a massive, massive risk.
Yeah.
Mainstream physics basically discarded the ether 100 years ago.
Right.
But what's fascinating here is how the trioral team balances it. They pair these bold, almost metaphysical philosophical concepts with incredibly hard open source data.
The Grok AI stuff.
Exactly. They provide direct links to their extensive Grok AI analysis. It's complete transparency. So yes, it's a calculated risk, but it's a filter.
Oh, a filter. That makes so much sense.
Right. If you're a scientist who is so closed-minded that the word etheric makes you stop reading, you aren't the person they want to work with anyway. They want to attract the visionaries.
The ones who look at the data first.
Exactly.
Okay, so to really understand why a serious, heavy-hitting scientist would actually answer this letter, we have to remind ourselves of the factual groundwork the Trioral team has already laid out for them.
The arsenal of knowns, so to speak.
Right, because when these scientists click those links, they aren't just seeing theories, they are seeing some wild, documented stuff from our past deep dives.
Let's quickly recap what they'll find.
Yeah, so first, there's the cymatics. We talked about this before. They apply an 883 hertz frequency to this three-pronged resonator.
In water.
In water, exactly. And it creates these incredible three-dimensional, hexagonal, fractal standing waves.
Right. It's not just a flat ripple.
Yeah.
It has volumetric structure.
And then there's the quantum antenna. This one is huge. They actually designed a silicon trioral antenna meant to operate between 1 and 10 gigahertz.
Which is the cell phone range.
Yeah. And the claim is that this could potentially replace 5G and 6G with quantum entanglement.
Meaning zero latency and, crucially, eliminating EMF smog completely.
Wild. And the third big one is the bioresonance.
Ah, yes, the 528 hertz field.
Right. They show the potential of this 528 hertz trioral field to induce cellular mechanotransduction.
Which basically means using physical vibration to tell a cell what to do.
Exactly. Harmonizing the nervous system, theoretically influencing DNA repair, boosting blood circulation. It's basically acoustic medicine.
It really is.
So when I look at all this, it just reminds me of an open source software developer dropping a revolutionary new code onto GitHub.
That's a great way to put it.
But instead of software code, it's like the fundamental geometry of physical vibration.
Yes. And what makes it viable for a mainstream physicist to actually interact with is the AI analysis. The inclusion of the Grok AI mathematical models is the bridge.
Because it translates the geometry into math.
Exactly. For example, the AI maps those hexagonal water patterns to Bessel functions.
Okay. Remind me, Bessel functions. Then.
It's advanced math that predicts how things vibrate on a circular surface, like a drumhead.
Oh, right, right.
And it also includes the wave equations for these acoustic etheric field. So it translates abstract, beautiful geometry into the hardcore language of physics that researchers can actually test in a lab.
Okay, so the spark is the letter.
Yep.
The kindling is all this incredibly dense open source AI math and previous research.
Who builds the fire?
Exactly. That's the thought experiment here. If we had to guess, what kind of modern scientist reacts to this first, and what can they actually offer the project?
Well, I think the very first responders are going to be the rogues.
The rogues. I like that.
You know, the rogue quantum physicists or these maverick acoustic engineers who are already frustrated by the limitations of our current binary linear systems.
The people who already know 5G isn't the end-all be-all.
Right. People looking for alternatives.
Yeah.
They'll bite first.
You know who I would invite to the table if I were running this?
Yeah.
I would go straight to the cutting-edge materials science labs.
Oh, for the metallurgy?
Yes. Because they specify the AlC7Mg alloy for the quantum antenna, right?
Yeah, the aluminum-silicon-magnesium mix.
I would want the top material scientists to cast that exact alloy into the 120-degree geometry and just stress test the structural resonance. Like, prove the physical tuning fork works perfectly before we even talk about quantum entanglement.
That is a phenomenal point. You need the physical hardware validated first.
Right. But what about the corporate side? Like, who acts as the guarantor, the implementer for this kind of open research?
Well, let's break it down by sector. For the bioresonance stuff, the DNA repair, and cellular health, you're looking at advanced biotech firms.
The ones moving away from just pharmaceuticals.
Exactly. Companies focused on non-invasive therapies or electroceuticals, they already have the clean rooms and the cellular cultures to sponsor this research safely.
Okay, that makes sense. But for the telecom side, I feel like that's trickier.
Why do you say that?
Because if this silicon quantum antenna actually replaces 5G towers, the current telecommunications giants have billions tied up in those towers.
That's the classic innovator's dilemma.
Right. But at the same time, if I'm a telecom giant looking for absolutely secure, unhackable, quantum-level communication...
You have to build it before a startup beats you to it.
Exactly. They should be prototyping the silicon antenna yesterday.
This raises a really important question, though, about the precedent for this kind of open research. Because corporations usually want to patent everything.
Right. They want the monopoly.
But there are massive precedents for open source collaboration succeeding over monopolies. Look at the Linux operating system.
Oh, yeah. Completely open, and it basically runs the internet now.
Exactly. Or look at CERN, the European Organization for Nuclear Research. They have the open hardware repository.
Wait, they open source their physical hardware?
They do. They design these incredibly complex components for particle accelerators, and they release the blueprints to the public domain.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, because they know that locking away fundamental physics slows down human progress. And by releasing the trioral data to the public domain, this team is preventing anyone from monopolizing what is essentially a fundamental law of nature.
You can't patent gravity.
Exactly. You can't patent a 120-degree angle.
Here's where it gets really interesting to me, the logistics of it. Because they open-sourced it, you don't just have one lab working on this for 10 years in secret.
It's totally decentralized.
Right. You could literally have a lab in Tokyo running the fluid dynamics on the water cymatics.
Yeah.
And at the exact same time, you've got a startup in Silicon Valley building the ALSI-7MG quantum antenna.
Right. Iterating the metallurgy.
And meanwhile, a medical facility in Europe is testing the 528 Hz bioresonance on human cells.
And because it's open, they're all sharing their data in real time.
A breakthrough in Tokyo instantly helps the team in Europe.
The acceleration of discovery would just be exponential.
It's wild to think about. It really is a profound shift. And I think that's what we need to summarize here as we wrap up this deep dive.
It's more than just a science project.
Way more. This open letter isn't just a polite request for some lab time. It is a philosophical invitation to the entire scientific community.
An invitation to change how we think.
Yeah, to shift away from this rigid, binary, linear understanding of science, you know, cause and effect, action and reaction.
Zeros and ones.
Exactly. And to move towards a triadic, toroidal, and harmonic understanding of the universe.
And that connects directly back to you listening to this right now.
Oh, absolutely.
Because even if you aren't a quantum physicist, and even if you don't have access to a clean room or a lab, you are witnessing the birth of a totally new paradigm.
A crowdsourced, open science reality.
Yes. The shift from hoarding knowledge behind corporate walls to freely sharing it for everyone's benefit, that might actually be just as important as the geometry of the tuning fork itself.
I completely agree. The medium is the message here.
It really is.
Well, we have covered some truly mind-bending concepts today. But before we sign off, I want to leave you with one final lingering thought to just mull over on your own.
Oh, I love these. Let's hear it.
We've just spent all this time talking about how a simple three-pronged shape angled at exactly 120 degrees can theoretically unlock everything from biocellular healing to quantum entanglement communication.
Right. Just by changing the geometry.
Exactly. So if that is true, what other fundamental world-changing geometric truths are just hiding in plain sight, sitting in our everyday objects, just waiting for someone to finally add a third prong?
Wow. That's a profound thought to end on.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We will catch you on the next one.